Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We can actually run now.
Yes,
right.
This way.
Which way do we go?
I'm happy wherever you guys want to go. I usually do a couple of loops.
Okay,
but then that's quite repetitive. Or we go up into Primrose Hill.
We can loopy loop. Good morning, Running Commentary. Welcome to Running Commentary. And welcome to our guest. We have a guest today. It's Joe Warner.
Yes.
Hello. Men's Fitness. Morning, Joe.
Good morning. What a lovely morning for it.
Men's Fitness editor.
I am the editor of Men's Fitness. Yes, that's right.
Fantastic. Great. And we've actually had a bit of a chat, Rob, because we went to the to a different gate.
Yes.
Slight bit of confusion about the Regent's Park gate for the zoo, wasn't it?
There was some confusion there. Understood. We're meeting by the zoo in Regent's Park for a loop of Regent's Park. And meanwhile, I was expecting to come by overground, but came by bike. So, you know, my Men's Fitness is up this morning. I've been using a whole different set of muscle groups.
Exactly.
I run here from crouching. And yep. Joe ran here from what? How far, Joe?
I got a Boris bike.
Oh, okay.
So like you, a bit of a warm-up.
Yeah, and also with a much tougher bike, they're not an easy ride, are they?
I think they're about 25 kilos. You do not want to be going uphill in one of them.
I think it's actually slightly easier to pick it up and carry it on your back.
But it saved a bit of time.
Where did you come from?
I actually got the overground. I got the tube into work and then just cycled up from Dennis Publishing, which is on Cleveland Street, so it's only about 2 minutes.
And you often run here in Regent's Park?
My office has recently moved to High Street Kensington, so I've been doing a lot more around Hyde Park.
All right, that's nice.
Almost certainly going to slip over in this, by the way.
Let's get on to the tarmac.
And also quite a lot out in Stratford. So I've been mixing it up. I've only recently got back into running, so it's been great to kind of re-explore some places I used to run and find some new routes as well.
So take us through you got back into running. What was your first go at it then? When were you doing loads? Was there a stage when you were doing loads of running?
Yeah, probably sort of 2005 and 6.
Right.
I first got into it. I was always into fitness, but that became kind of my thing.
Right.
And that's when I did London for the first time.
What year?
This was 2006.
Yeah.
Nice.
And
was that quite near your first year, Rob, was it?
I'm a bit later. I think more like 2000. Later on, anyway. I hadn't started exercising in 2006. I'd have rolled my way around the London Marathon. But yeah, how was it?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I really wanted to get sub 4, which I just managed to do. So I was really pleased with that for the first time. But I think I got into it because my dad had done marathons before.
Yeah.
And I'd always kind of, as a kid, seen him disappear on a Saturday morning, come back hours later. And this was in the good old days when there wasn't any technology or GPS.
Of course.
And he'd get out a map and a pins and some string.
Yeah.
And literally work out how far
he'd run by the light of the moon. Off into the woods.
I never thought of that. Of course, how do you measure distance? I like the idea of, you know, getting off the grid and going off. But, you know,
it's bizarre, isn't it? I think you used to get your parents to drive round it or something and just take you from that if you're serious about getting anything like an accurate read.
Well, yeah, get driven 7 miles away from home, out the car and then
drops
run back.
Yeah.
And then thought, oh, damn it,
back for tea. Well, that's good. It's heartening that you ingested that as an example from your dad.
My granddad, just to throw this in, my granddad on my mum's side, he used to go for a walk. He had a pedometer in his shoe, which was set to his stride.
Right.
And he'd come home and say, yeah, I did 8 miles. I think his stride, he said it slightly generously. Come back in about an hour later. Yeah, 8-9 miles that was.
But yeah, we take it for granted now how easy it is to map elevation, distance, heart rate. There's so much technology there if you need it.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on the tech?
Well, I was listening to one of your podcasts recently where you're not in the Strava club.
No.
And
not yet.
I can totally understand that, because sometimes it's nice, isn't it, just to throw everything off and get out there.
Yeah.
And not worry too much about time and distance. And after a while, you've got a good idea of how far you're going and how fast you're going. But I've kind of got a bit so you're into the Strava club.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's fair enough. I totally understand why people do.
Yeah, and when people can say, hey, what, you'll love it. It's the thing is, we get it. We know what's good about it. It's just that it's us, you know. We're running this weird Luddite old hippie balancing act.
To be honest,
knowing and not knowing what we're doing.
To be honest, I'm sure that I would really get into it. And I still want to keep my easy runs easy. Yeah. I just got a feeling if I got into it, I'd be going for like, you know, section PBs every week, every run, you know.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. And I think the one thing is you can't get too competitive with anyone else, right? Running is all about, it's about what you're doing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I've just enjoyed it just to go, okay, well, that was a little bit quicker and that felt a little bit quicker. Why didn't that feel so good? Just to analyse where I'm going right and where I'm going wrong.
And you're marking your improvement, aren't you? Because you're on your way back into it. You had that first surge.
Yeah, no, I stopped. I did 4 marathons in... I did 2006, 2 in 2008.
Right. Which two?
I did London and then Berlin.
Yeah.
Berlin.
Do we have a Berlin... Some kind of Berlin...
Yeah, how was Berlin?
I lost Berlin, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, because I got a place about a week before.
Wow.
And it's a feature for Men's Fitness.
Yeah.
Go out, interview Haile Gebrselassie, the race, and then do a feature on, you know, the world's greatest marathon runner.
Wow.
The trouble is, I had a week's notice, and I hadn't really run any significant distance.
So you got your long run, you got your tempo, you got your taper.
Yeah,
Tuesday 16.
All in the space of a 2-hour Ryanair flight.
A taper on the flight.
Yeah. But it's amazing. So I went for a little kind of training session with Haile on the Saturday, and then got out. It was September, late September, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about 27 degrees. So it was hot.
Right.
And part of me was like, well, there's a pressure. I've got to get a feature out of this. So, yeah. I've got to get round.
You've got to get round it, yeah.
And also, Gabby Stassi's got to win to make a really nice feature.
Yeah.
And he did, and
Let's
I did.
Let's go here and go through the nice bit. Sorry. He won. Did you come second?
Or very, very close to second. I think I was at about mile 10 when I'd heard over the tannoy that he'd won.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, thank goodness for that. Oh, hang on.
Is that a world record? Yeah, a world record.
He just missed it.
Because it's a very fast course, isn't it?
If
you're a very fast runner. They often go to Berlin, don't they? Tell us about interviewing Paul Hyland. What was that like?
It was
like running next to him? It must have been quite sort of bizarre.
It was bizarre because, all of these guys, these phenomenal athletes that are just superhuman.
Yes.
And I think the way I explained it in the feature was, imagine getting on the treadmill, putting on the highest setting it'll go, see how long you can run on it for.
Yeah.
Because that's what Gabriel Slassy does when he broke the world record.
Absolutely.
Except he's going faster than most treadmills will ever go.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Absolutely.
What kind of mile pace is the world record at the marathon? It's a sprint to
us. It's 2:03, isn't it, for the... So it's about... It's about 4:41 per mile, is it, about that?
Yeah,
which
around
is about
that, right.
70 seconds every 400 metres.
Yeah.
Which is
flat
out.
Yeah,
for 200, we'd struggle to do it for 200 metres.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just, it was amazing. to meet him.
It's absurd to think about it.
Yeah. And also, tiny little fella. Because a lot of these guys are.
Yeah, tiny, no weight on him,
They're
obviously.
Built for it.
Yeah.
So we had a lovely chat, and then I finished hours later and went to the hotel where all the pros were staying. How are you doing, Haile? Oh, you know, I'm a little bit tired, but I'm going to have something to eat, and then I've got to go to the awards dinner and this and this and this and this.
Yeah. Amazing.
And all I was thinking is, I want a pizza and I want to lie down
forever.
And I really want someone to transcribe all of this amazing content, because it's going to take me ages.
What an amazing character he is, though. I mean, what a competitor. What a... It's, you know, he won so much. I mean...
And just such
one of the all-time greats, isn't
he? Interviewing someone, especially a famous sportsman, you know, you're going to get him on a good day, you're going to get him on a bad day. I don't think he has bad days. He's just the nicest, most down-to-earth guy.
Well, maybe it's to do, you know, there is a kind of a, you know, zen thing to it. Maybe you get to that point. Obviously, incredibly skilled, loads of innate talent, but maybe the clincher is just a sanguine attitude, you know.
It's the one question I wish I'd ask him, is just what are you thinking? What's going through your head? Are you off on another place, or are you thinking, right, well, that was 4:32, so I need to get a little bit quicker for the next part?
I'd regret
I didn't get into that detail with him.
We probably, you thought of it just after he'd gone, but you couldn't catch him up to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Only one more question.
I often think that's something about runners. I find a lot of runners, especially, you know, often the quicker they get, or the more competitive, they're actually very gentle, because they get so much out when they're running.
Yeah.
Because running, so, you know, any sort of anger or weirdness or whatever, it's so that kind of, they drive themselves so hard, and then it stops.
They
just seem really gentle sort of characters, you know.
Shut up! I'm not running enough, I'm so sorry.
But compared to my sports, they're so drilled, it's second nature, it's instinct, isn't it? What you do when the ball comes, you head it, you kick it.
Yes.
When it's running like this, which is the beauty of it, you are properly in the moment and you are aware of what you're doing. But to run 26.2 miles in 2 hours, 3 minutes, I know what would be going through my brain, and it would not be pleasant.
It would be. How is this happening?
Am I falling?
But going back to you waiting for, you know, having to go out when you wanted to crawl into bed with a pizza, what was the comeback on that? I mean, did your leg seize up on the plane? Was it? I'm still worried about the impact.
No, of doing it off virtually no training.
Yeah, because I didn't push it because it was a hot day. I took it as you know, pretty slowly.
Cool.
I remember running around at the water stations.
Yeah.
Everyone else was gulping it down. I was just pouring this ice water on my quads to try and just numb them a little bit.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I do that loads, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just anything just to distract you from how much they're burning. But
yeah.
No, it was
quads,
brilliant.
Isn't it? I find you might be able to answer this question, Joe. When I'm running, I often find my legs go way before my breathing. What's
right.
that? What does that mean?
I don't know, because I'm the opposite.
Yeah, okay. I wonder whether
it's probably because you're really, really good at running, and you're really fast, and you run really long distances.
No, but what I'm saying is that that's very kind of you. We'll take that as
a little take that.
But surely it means I could be running, I could be pushing it harder.
Well, I don't
feel cardiovascular-wise I'm kind
right.
of pushing it. You
do
know.
You don't do much warm-up and warm-down, do you?
No.
Do you do any other kind of leg strengthening exercises?
No.
Well, I think that's it, isn't it, Jack?
Do you think that's it? Do you think it's as simple as that?
We think that's it. I'm co-opting some knowledge here. I just want to throw in Regent's Park, we've come around the south side.
Very nice tonight.
We're just getting to the lake. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's that kind of... It's runner's gorgeous, so it's cold and still grey. And
nice idea too.
You're saying if we both came here by bike, all we need to do is a loop of this lake. We've basically done a triathlon this morning.
Let's do it, yeah.
I'll be right behind you, Rob.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I won't look back. I just assume you're behind me. In you go. I'm right there. There's a heron just on the other side there. They're not shy, are they?
And so...
I think the key is just to... I know you guys are big on your... Especially you, Rob, big on your stretching.
Yeah, well, I have to. I just get injured otherwise, you know.
I think there's an awful lot to be said by complementing the running with other forms of training, whether it's core work or stretching, Pilates. You know, it's only going to help.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, it's quite boring if you're not into that. Stretching has always been boring.
It's
quite
boring,
no one does
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, going back to what you were saying about the zen of a long-distance runner, that's why yoga's a good one, because it's meditative, you know. But I think that core is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, and lower back. Because so many people suffer from, you know, hamstring problems or knee problems. And I think a lot of the time it's down to a poor lower back. If you don't have the lower back strength, you know, you get tight there and it pulls everything out.
Yeah, yeah. No, our mate comedian, whose name I can't remember, Irish comedian we interviewed in the summer.
Jason Byrne.
He said that in New York, his legs are really hurting. And in the end, he worked out that his whole posture had dropped.
Right.
So as his head and his shoulders went forward, yeah, he was pulling up the backs of his legs, and they were just turning into concrete.
Well, that's it. We're a complete chain, aren't we? Only as strong as your weakest link. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but
it's true, yeah,
when it comes to injury prevention. See, at the moment, I've been, touch wood, so lucky, never really had any injury at all.
Like it.
But recently, a bit of a pain in my left arse cheek.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's bad for a number of reasons. One, it's your arse, right? Yeah, so it's always funny.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
it's hilarious. Yeah.
And two, no one else ever really have had that injury. Oh, you've got a quad strain, hamstring strain. Oh, yeah, I've had one of them. It was awful. You've got a pain in your arse.
Is it marathon training related?
I guess so.
I get that?
Joe's got a pain in his arse, yeah, everyone.
It's his left cheek. left arse.
The worst bit is, it's not a muscle group you can massage in public.
No. Well, you can.
Not
well, the certainly one you can ask.
I could get away with it now at the bus stop. Probably not.
You can in media land. Come
mate,
on,
while we're on the tube, can you prod that for me?
But it's just right in there. So I'm not getting any sympathy. So well, get back to your question.
Well, I've had marathon training and then come home, like basically doing longer runs than I've been doing. And you get this real like horizontal pain across my bum, like I'm sitting on a, you know, it's on both sides. It's
right,
kind of like yours but in stereo. So, you know,
you got the double arse ache.
It's the secret shame of the
what is that though? What's happening in your arse?
I don't know. If you're just joining us,
we've got the answers.
I honestly think it's probably sitting down too much.
Right.
I think this is sort of a modern problem. That we all sit down too much, yeah, and our glutes aren't activated, without getting too technical. But
at work, is your computer a sit-down desk?
It is, yeah.
A lot of people are doing the old stand-up-y ones.
Yeah, we've got a stand-up.
A bit serious,
the computer I sort this out on is a stand-up computer.
How are you finding it?
That's great. They say the great thing about it I love is if you're standing too long. I say, what do you do? Because when you stand too long, your legs get stiff. You get a bit... That's when you just stop and walk away.
Right.
So it's got a kind of built-in...
I'd worry I would be constantly switching my weight from left to right and probably favouring my stronger side.
Yeah. We have to go this way or we go out of the park. No, we don't want to go out of the park.
But that's the thing about people, you know, who are getting back into fitness, especially this time of year. They go to the gym and they're getting on a stationary bike. And it's great. They're doing something. Still sitting down.
Yes.
They're still kind of not activating their core or their lower back or their glutes.
There's an awful lot to be said for running, swimming, just full body movement, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, well, those are the three great exercises. In other words, swimming is better for your whole body than running. And
it's certainly, well, there's zero impact pretty much, isn't there? I've just never been a swimmer.
No. Well, I was. I was a swimmer at school, and then I completely let it go. And I'm so bad at it now. It's a shameful comparison.
But you must kind of still have the technique.
You'd think, couldn't you?
My concern is that I have zero technique, and if I ever got into a pool, you know that scene in Friends where Phoebe's running through the park?
Yeah.
That's what I think I'd look like swimming.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the pros with their goggles would just be looking at me going,
I think with the modern discovery of running, you know, you could run like Phoebe and Friends and you would find somewhere to approve of it. Whereas... swimming, everyone would just say, get out of the pool.
Yeah.
You're splashing
You're
up
creating
the whole
waves.
Now, I've considered getting a swimming refresher course. You know, getting someone to teach me to swim better. I don't know if
get this technique right. Yeah,
yeah, there's quite a few of them cropping up now.
A lot of wedges to be made, isn't there? Yeah, you're doing it all wrong, mate. Yeah. You don't want to use water.
No, we're swimming. You don't need water to swim. Come
just
around my
get
ass.
A kitchen stool.
Yeah, come around my ass.
Swimming seminar.
So going back to your running and marathon history, so you started out, you loved the running.
I did.
You did how many? You did one marathon, then two marathons.
Oh, yeah, so London in 06, and then London, Berlin in 08, and then London in 09, and then nothing until now.
And why was that? Just because you got into other things?
Yeah, I started going to the gym more and ended up doing one of these kind of transformation features for Men's Fitness where I
saw that photo.
Oh god, I hate it when people bring this up.
Have you seen the photo, Rob?
What, do you turn from a robot into a Joe's
transformation photo?
I've got about 700 of them on my phone if you want to stop and have a flick through. But it was basically one of these 12 weeks, you know.
You have to, you realise, in all seriousness, you have to email me these so we can put them on the podcast. Check this out, listeners.
But yeah, it was a 12-week kind of average Joe, busy job,
right,
doesn't have much time, what shape can you get in? So I trained with a guy called Nick Mitchell, who runs a gym chain called Ultimate Performance. And he basically put me through my paces for 12 weeks. I'm putting that very diplomatically because I can't swear, can I?
Yeah. did he ride you like a pony?
But it worked. And
so was that a period of like complete commitment to it kind of thing? Diet,
it was an entire lifestyle change.
Right.
I started eating meat.
Okay.
I've been a vegetarian for 21 years. Sorry.
I love that.
Yeah, no, I know. Do you want to come stand in the middle, Paul? But it was something I've been considering. I've been considering for a while anyway, that dietary change. But yeah, it was.
So talk me through all the dietary changes.
One question before this: should we stay in the park or should we go out and go up Primrose Hill?
Listen, a little loop of Primrose makes sense, does it?
Yeah,
good. Let's go. Okay, carry on. The diet changed everything.
So it was, I think, as a vegetarian marathon runner, I had quite a reliance on carbohydrates.
Yeah.
As in every meal of every day, sometimes double carbs.
Right.
Glorious times.
Yes, great,
great
times.
Days.
Good fun.
But I don't think I was getting enough protein. And that's, you know, it's something that is more and more important now. Whatever activity you're doing,
yes.
You know, you've got to get enough quality protein, especially quality protein. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
So it was
that's true of all the food groups, isn't it? If you are on carbohydrates, you also want quality carbohydrates. The difference between chips and brown rice, you know.
So it was a kind of a massive switch to lean meat,
yeah,
fish, almost. More vegetables than anyone should ever have to eat. But giving your body those nutrients it needs, because you're with any, you know, sort of extreme training plan, whether that is a body composition to try and get abs or trying to do a very quick marathon, the nutrition is the side that so many people, especially first timers, just completely underappreciate.
No,
they almost think they've got, I'm running, I've got a license to eat whatever I want.
Yeah.
Why am I gaining weight? And it's about just fueling that engine. So it was a lot of vegetables, a lot of lean protein.
Is it almost paleo stuff?
Yeah, yes it was. There were some more carbohydrates.
Okay.
As you get leaner, because your body's better able to deal with them. But it was a real eye-opener for me just to see. I think with the marathon, you learn what you're capable of. When you first got on that run as a youngster, or when I was out with my dad when he was marathon training and I'd be on my bike.
Yes.
And I'd have to come back after 45 minutes because I was just cold, tired and miserable.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's a point when you realise, oh, I can actually do this. And that what kind of weight training challenge just showed me what you can do if you prioritise it.
Just potential,
exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. And,
so you were doing loads of weight stuff.
It was four times a week.
Right.
It was kind of more of a, I don't like using the word bodybuilding style because people look at me and go, well, okay, where did it go wrong? But it was that approach of hitting a muscle group and then backing off. And I've applied some of the principles to running, actually, and kind of the minimum effective dose is all you should ever be doing.
Right. Yeah.
You want to hit that point where you're going to elicit the fitness response you want and then stop.
Yeah.
Because everything else, and then you need to recover. Everything else is kind of counterproductive.
So talk me through that. What does that actually mean in terms of practical sort of pounds and pence, numbers, miles, distances?
From a running point of view, I'm still trying to work out what that means.
Right.
Because there are sort of fundamentally different things, aren't there? Because with running, you want to, a lot of it is about just, but it's closer to yoga in some ways. You're kind of just balancing up and using what you've got. Whereas with muscle fitness, if you're not pushing it, you're not exercising.
Yeah. From that weight training point of view, you know when a muscle's reached failure because you just simply can't lift
anymore.
You can't
do it.
That's the point you can call it a day.
Right.
Yeah. With running, I'm still finding my feet. Because there's...
Well, that's entry-level stuff. You're going to need those.
That's what I've been going wrong. But I think it's just a case. There's always a temptation. I think especially with running. Oh, I've got to do more. I've got to do more.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
only going to get better if I do more. And it's... You know, the kind of the analogy someone explained to me, it's like brushing your teeth. You do it for 2 minutes, your teeth are clean. You do it for 20 minutes, your teeth might be 5% cleaner, but you haven't got any gums left.
Yeah,
so you've
yeah.
got to back off and do that minimum effective dose, because recovery is, it's the third pillar, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
sleep recovery.
If you overdo it with running, it is very easy, especially as you get older, to get injured. And the most important thing, if you can get it, is consistency of training.
Absolutely.
Just week after week.
Because there's nothing worse than being on the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you're right, the older you get, the more impact an injury has.
Yes.
Because you do lose it quicker.
Yeah.
You know, the beauty of fitness is it comes back very, very quick if you apply yourself.
Yeah, and conversely, yeah, you notice that particularly with, again, with muscle fitness, if you don't keep it up, it goes away. It goes away like that. It's like running and cycling. There's a little bit more kind of body memory. It's a kind of slower fade.
Yeah.
Although you lose all your stamina and distance and stuff, the kind of memory of doing it kind of stays.
But I think from men's fitness point of view, a lot of our readers are after those kind of body composition changes. They want more muscle.
Yes.
They want less body fat.
Yeah.
And I think probably one of the most important things I try and tell people, and it's a bit like marathon running, is you've got to enjoy the journey. You know, you think you might be happy with your body once you've got abs or once you've got bigger biceps, but you might not be.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to learn enjoy the process. And I think that's especially true.
Or else you'll lose the body again.
And you
you'll
never
get it and lose it.
Or you might not get it, or you'll give up because you're not making progress quick
enough.
It's
a life rule, isn't it? Nirvana is the journey. If you're not enjoying the quest, don't bother, because you don't know if you're going to succeed in your quest. You don't know.
Absolutely.
You don't know where you're going to be next time.
And that's it with the marathon. You know, you cross that finish line and it's the best feeling in the world. Yes, because you've just finished a marathon, but because all of those months of hard work and sacrifice and early nights and not drinking, you know, they've led to this point.
Yes.
And you can celebrate that, whereas I personally...
Well, in your case, over like 8 days. All those days of training for Berlin.
But I think I would enjoy it less if I was just bonked on the start line,
guaranteed
a 3:15 time and just went through the motions.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of like having to get up early and go and do those hard miles and then, you know, get on the rest of your day feeling a sense of accomplishment.
Exactly. And so many things we take from this you can use in every aspect of life, you know?
Totally transferable, isn't it?
Yeah. And if
it's all about habits.
You're not doing it right, you know, you're not taking enough from it.
It's the whole day of the marathon, isn't it? If you've done the training, then just lining up is exciting, isn't it? Because you know you've got it in you.
It's just a buzz as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's first timers and the people that have done it every year. And everyone comes together. It doesn't matter your background or your training experience.
It's completely democratising, isn't it? And that whole thing, it's all about you and your journey, but also you're one of thousands and thousands of people who are all in it together.
And you know, the spectators as well, because they'll be there cheering you on for a common cause if you're doing it for charity. And it's just one of those days where London is just at its best, or any major city.
I've got to say, I'm thinking listeners might have noticed a puff increase.
We're going up the hill.
We're going up the hill.
Up the hill.
So, Joe.
Up Primrose.
Tell us a long story.
So, over to Joe. You're both doing it for Parkinson's. Well, we're all doing it for Parkinson's.
Yeah, we're all running for Parkinson's UK, but which is how we hooked up. But what's your... How's the fundraising going?
Good. So I'm doing it with my little brother, Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Because our dad was diagnosed about 18 months ago. So we just started the fundraising. And he actually did a bit of stand-up in his younger days. So we're thinking of organising some kind of... Well, he'll do all the hard work of some comedy and I might organise a raffle or something.
Great.
But this is steep.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to make brilliant podcasting.
We're fine.
I should get pictorial evidence of you going up the...
Are we doing this one, are we?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Keep right.
Here we go.
You're nearly at the top of the hill, boys.
We're getting a picture of my injured cheek here.
Yeah, that's it. That is the cheek in question. There it is.
This is fine.
As they climb to the very peak of London's Primrose Hill.
Woo. And then you get the view.
It's worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
I put myself in a position where I had to catch you up. That's not right, is it? My goodness.
Nice.
So would it be good or bad if the weather was like this on marathon day?
I think it'd be good.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it'd be great, yeah.
And a picture of you guys with the view. In fact, let's attempt a selfie. You know that stand-up and fundraising for Parkinson's UK is something you can also talk to us about. So
yes,
yeah,
that'd be great. The more money, the better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this would be perfect to do a marathon. I did Watford Half at the weekend, and it was really cold. I could feel my feet felt cold hitting the ground at the start.
Oh, so is this your ideal race condition then? Is it? So it's a bit overcast. It's a bit chilly, but there's no wind at all, is there?
Chilly. There's no wind.
Yeah, it's difficult with distance because I think it'll warm you up nicely and give you good pace early on, and then that would be good for the next 10 miles. But after that, once you've run for a while and your body settles right into it, you do run the risk of getting cold again.
He can do, yeah.
That's one to watch. It's very hard with layers at the marathon because you don't want many.
I'd always just want some.
Yeah, you're a cross country man.
I'd always go first.
I mean, I think in that cross country you did the other day, everyone has to wear wire fronts and nothing else. And beat themselves with sticks.
So how'd you get on in the half?
I enjoyed it. I did 87.
Oh, well, good.
So, and it's a hilly one as well. It's Watford, so it's very hilly. So, I felt competitive. I enjoyed it.
I know that you've got a stupendous half marathon PB from your teen days, but that must be your best half marathon for a long time.
Yeah, that's my best since the return.
Yeah, very
good. Since the comeback, yeah.
And you like me then, you have kind of two PB phases. There's the early days.
Mine was when I was a youth, like sort of between like 15 and 17, I used to run a lot when I was a kid, so I've got my PBs from then and then, which I'm never going to.
I think it's so funny talking about you running when you're young with this whippet in front of us. it's like a metaphor alive. Hi, mate.
So I did like 78 and a half minutes for a half marathon when I was a kid.
Wow.
So that's just not going to happen, you know. So I've kind of got to let that go. And I do feel like a new bloke. And probably on a cellular level, you are, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't your cells change every 7 years or so?
All of them, yeah. But then they don't.
Isn't that weird?
Chiggers broom. We're all chiggers broom.
We'll do this again in 7 years' time. Yeah. And it'll be like we're having a conversation for the first time.
So that was my different person voice.
Rob's really going to change.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So your marathon, how's your training? What are you going for? Where are you at? Come on, tell it. Let's sum it up.
Well, I've not told my brother this yet, but I'm aiming to be his unofficial pacer.
Good.
Because then that takes all the pressure off me having to do anything. I'm not going to set a PB, I know that.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that, to be honest. Because it's all about raising as much money as possible this time.
Isn't it great knowing that you're just running it to run it? That must be just a good laugh, isn't it?
And I was never quick, particularly. I got sub 3:30 by the skin of my teeth.
That's pretty sharp, though.
Oh, yeah, I was pleased with that. Really, really pleased with it. But you know, you can fall into the trap of putting so much pressure on yourself that it's all about the time.
Yes.
And that's the only thing that matters. And if you don't make that time, you're going to have all that months of training have messed up. And
that's not exactly where I'm at.
It's not.
Yeah. And it's true. You have to remember that the achievement is always completing the marathon. That's the key achievement on the day for anyone.
Because you're aiming at a time that is just incomprehensible to most people. That sub 3 mark.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people sort of have it, but I know what you're saying. I mean, sub 4, sub 3:30, sub 3, so it's just,
you're slicing off big groups of fit people.
It's undeniably quick, yeah.
So are you with your kind of thinking about the taper? Because obviously that's going to be hugely important making sure you're fresh.
Yeah, I'm going to, at the moment I'm just like, increasing the miles every week and try to, like that half was at the end of a 50 mile week, which for me is a lot of running, so 50s, 55s.
Is the half included in
it? Yeah, that's included in it, yeah.
Well, that's good.
So,
that's something.
Yeah, that would have been daft. Although one bloke who's training for the comrades from the club I'm in, he ran 15 miles there. Then he did the half. You know,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's just showing
There's
off,
levels of lunacy commitment.
But
so,
you know,
just increasing the long runs, isn't it? They're crucial.
And in terms of not doing too much, I mean, what's your week mileage and how much do you want to do? How far will you go before London?
I want to get a couple of 22s under my belt.
Yeah, they're really good, aren't they?
It's just, I think with London especially, you know, because you come around the Isle of Dogs, which is still really well supported, but compared to the rest of the course,
yes,
can feel very quiet and very lonely.
A bit isolated, yeah.
But
yeah,
I think in London, when you get to 20, you know that the force is going to be able to get you over those final. Are we going up or?
Yeah, let's go in here.
It's almost, I think anything over 20 in training is really valuable. Just a couple over 20 milers, just to get that in your legs.
Psychologically as well.
Psychologically. It is tiring.
I remember my first marathon, I was really, really struggling at about 2021.
Yeah.
And I did the first time thing, which I think everyone should do, is put your name on your vest. And some fella just shouted out, come on, Joe, you've effing nailed this. And do you know what? For him, he would have forgotten it seconds later. But it was a second win for me.
Good.
I was like, that guy's looking at me, and he thinks I can do it, or
that's
I can
great.
Do it.
That's great, mate.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you can take that for, like you say, that could get you 10 miles.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important to put your name on your top, and it's very important to put it on the front.
Yes.
People have it on the back. It's too late in the back.
There goes Joe. He's inspiring us. Come on, Joe.
You know, last time... Actually, no, the time before when I was... Well, anyway, one of these beer marathons in recent years, several people said to me, keep smiling, Rob. I love that. I mean, the thing is, there is a kind of natural ridiculousness to it, and to me, that I think once the effort kicks in, my grimace comes off as a big smile.
Yes. Yeah.
The crowd is an audience. So I am putting on my innate friendly face.
Yeah.
But to be reminded of that is just so...
The reason anyone stops, you know, a run or a session at the gym or whatever is because your brain's telling you you're knackered. But your brain's lying quite a lot of the time. It's
the central government. Are we talking about the central government here?
Yeah,
exactly.
Saying
the guy out of...
He's holding back for survival.
Thomas the Tank Engine, yeah?
Why do we need to run anymore? We might need some of this energy
later. We might need this because we might be in actual danger. Yeah.
Sorry, but Thomas the Tank Engine is the fat controller.
But you know, another thing I learned from training with Nick Mitchell was that, I can't do anymore. And when you've got an 18-stone former bodybuilder standing over you telling you you're going to do another set, somehow you find the strength. So that's another thing that I think is really important. It's like, as you guys have talked about, your brain's saying no for survival purposes. But actually, your legs are really stupid.
Yeah.
They'll keep moving.
There's a lot more there.
You can check them. And also, it's that fundamental thing. We're talking about the two voices in your head saying, do it, don't do it. What you want is that third voice, whether it's your trainer or just the finish line. You need an external impetus. Or whether you're trying to plank for 3 minutes and you've only ever done 2.5, you know. That's an external pressure to do more, to go further. And it's really helpful. God, look, there's camels. We're just going past the zoo. By the way, you can do the zoo 10K and 5K. They've got what they call it, the Stampede. That's the last Sunday of March. We should come do that.
I used to do the Regent's Park summer series around here.
Right.
Just a series of 10Ks, which was really nice.
Nice and flat, isn't it? Yes. What surprises me about marathons and about the half on Sunday is just the last mile. You can always find a bit extra in the last mile. It's almost, I really feel that strongly with London. No matter, I've felt exhausted sometimes, like finished at 25.
Yeah.
But it just, do you know what I mean? You feel it, other people start to speed up a bit. You feel yourself getting sucked down the plug out of the finish.
Yeah. And that in turn shows you what you were just saying, Joe.
Shows us something left.
That's exactly, just when you think you're finished, you're not. Because it's coming from somewhere. Well, I had exactly that last year.
Yeah.
Where I thought, I'm completely spent at 70 miles. And I was.
Yeah.
Crawled for 5. And then from there, I just got faster and faster and faster, and it was all on stubbornness.
Yeah. So with this sub 3, I'm almost thinking, get to 25 for like 250, 251, and then your body will, do you know what I mean? Your body will look after it. But it's...
That's monkeys, not birds. Sorry, I'm on the zoo side here, guys. It's quite exciting. So, going back to the fitness of men.
Yes,
man.
What is there anything in particular quite distinct from running that you personally find useful in marathon training?
Definitely, as we touched on earlier, just sorting out that core, lower back.
Yeah,
right. It makes a huge difference.
What do you do for that?
Well, I think, you know, plank is for those deep lying core muscles. It's just about moving as many kind of angles as possible.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things, especially that training, a lot of guys, which way do you want to go? I'm feeling good. Let's keep going.
Yeah, okay. Let's go straight across. Here, go over there. We're kind of coming past where we started. So, you know, we're going into the unknown. We're like your dad a generation ago, just running off into... I don't even know where the car is.
Joe's turned back in his bike. I don't know where I am.
My Strava map's going to think I'm drunk, just running in wiggles around Regent's Park.
This job is going to, like, if it was an old Hollywood movie, it's going to start sparking, making noises. Does not compute.
But I think that with ab training, especially men, they'll do some sit-ups and... It's fine, they'll do a set of 12, whatever, and stop. And you've really got to put the muscles... They've got to feel like they're being worked. There's got to be a bit of cramping there. It's got to feel a little bit sore to elicit that response you want.
Yeah.
Lower back as well, really important. But that's where the gym can help, you know, with some deadlifts or, you know, some squats. Anything that's going to get your body working and moving as a chain, it's going to be really beneficial.
I think also, it's funny, a real practical application of what you were saying about enjoying the journey is the brilliant and depressing thing is that if you're doing a kind of anything that you do in reps, whether it's weights or press-ups or crunches or whatever, that you should do them slowly and feel every moment.
Yeah, absolutely. That mind-muscle connection is huge for so many sports and disciplines. If the muscle's not doing what it's supposed to do, you're kind of cheating yourself. You're not going to get the response. You're not going to get the results you want.
So and if you don't focus on it, you can just come past it. You know, you can do a 30 crunches not properly and not even notice because you're thinking about something else.
I bang on about this all the time, and people will be bored of it, but it is about it's time under tension. It's exposing the muscles that you're targeting to as much tension as possible. So when there's tension on them, they're working and they're doing their job.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I had a pound for every time I went into a commercial gym and saw a guy doing dumbbell biceps curls and his elbows up by his ear and it's all momentum. There's no muscle work going on at all.
Right.
And they wonder why they don't get results. And I think something that we've always talked about in the mags and the other fitness brands I work for is that kind of train smarter ethos. You don't need to train hard. Well, you do need to train hard, but it needs to be smart. There's no point ploughing 100 miles.
Yeah.
Or going off 100 miles an hour in one direction, which obviously would be great for running, but going off and just doing something
else. I don't know if you'd get your marathon medal if you did that in London, particularly if you went towards Kent.
But that's it. It's got to be directed. You've got to know what you're working towards.
Yeah, and that, in a very real sense, you know, you can improve, for example, your work on your whatever these muscles are on the side of your stomach by thinking, I must make sure I'm using those.
Yeah.
As you're doing it, you know, it's like you can kind of point.
Well, it's little things like that. A bit of a run when you are struggling. It's just, you know, brace your abs, tense your core. You'll suddenly be more upright. You'll have a better posture.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to make it feel 10 times easier, but it might make it a little bit more bearable.
I was running for pace the other day and I'd been going a little way. And I thought, and I just stood up a little bit straighter. And looking at it later, you know, I started going faster at that point. It's just the body awareness.
You felt you stood up a bit straighter.
Yeah, I thought, wait a minute, I've sunk down a bit.
Right.
I just got my eyes up.
Yeah.
I just corrected my style a little bit. And it's instantly going faster again. And it was like you say, it's a bit like...
You're not reinventing your running style, are you? It's just...
No.
Just realigning.
Incremental.
And it is, you get to that, you know when you're doing it right, because... It becomes, and I don't know how useful this is, but it's definitely been my experience, it becomes both easier and more difficult at the same time. Because you know you're being efficient. So you're pushing yourself hard, but the path is very clear.
Yes.
So you think, yeah, this is it. So kind of, I suppose it becomes psychologically easier, even as your body begins to work harder.
No, absolutely.
And I think also, probably with all training, certainly with running, it's... We need to let ourselves off not being as good at recovery and being gentle on ourselves, because you've got this daunting challenge.
Yep.
And you feel like more work must be a good thing. It's good, it's difficult, but it's good to get to that point where you trust yourself to recover, to stop.
I think that's where a lot of first-time marathon runners or anyone doing a significant distance, they come unstuck because you can get so focused on, I have to do as many miles as possible in this run, and then the next time I've got to do as many miles as possible, and then you just get fixated on a number. I've got to hit this number. Yeah. Whereas I did that for my first marathon. For my second, I joined a running club, and I discovered all the track sessions that you do with it, the speed sessions, threshold, hills, all these shorter, more intense sessions. Makes a phenomenal difference.
It's good to get a bit of variety as well, yeah.
Just both mentally and it conditions your body. You will lose a bit more fat from those intense sessions. And it just has a knock-on effect of making those longer, slower runs so much easier.
Because you're faster.
I
don't do enough of that. I've been changing distances and speeds, but I don't do any kind of interval-y, impact-y stuff. My shortest, fastest run is a park run, basically. Which
is a great
before.
Run, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is a wonderful thing, but it's still a distance run. It's a short distance run.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the fountains. So,
I've got a balance as well, isn't it? Because if you try to do a decent marathon as well, part of that is training to run fast when you're really knackered. So it's like, it's a tricky one to get right, you know.
It's horrible. Why are we doing this? It's the worst thing in the world.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Here I am, really, really knackered, running as fast as I can. Everyone's shouting at me. It's great.
But it's all right, because any hour now I'm going to get one of those foil blankets.
and a free apple.
The overwhelming relief when you can stop running. I can't wait to stop this thing that I'm doing.
So, what are you still on that? Are you eating? Lots of protein, not so many. Lots of veg, meat.
Yeah, do you know what?
You're slaughtering your own animals.
I've a lot more carbs at the moment, just because I'm really craving them.
Yeah.
Just because the amount of energy you burn when you're running, right?
Yeah.
It's what your body needs. But yeah, pretty clean. Whole foods. It's the way to go, right? But that's not a dietary approach just because I'm doing the marathon. It's just
that's
the way
just
that you should,
stuff.
The way people should eat, really.
Yeah, of course. But there was a thing in the latest issue of Men's Fitness. It's all about, real food is better. It seems obvious, but you've got to do the science. And there's so many tempting, supplements and things, and some of them can be really good.
The clue is in the name, right? It's a supplement. It's got a supplement your diet, and you're right. I quite often take some branched-chain amino acids after a run just to get in. I think it helps me with the recovery. But it's got to come from those quality fats, quality protein, and good slow-release carbs. You do that, you won't go too far wrong.
Yeah.
But again, this time of the year, everyone's looking for that quick fix, that shortcut. And it's why 99% of people, I've made that stat up, but it's probably quite accurate, fall off the wagon before the end of January.
Yeah.
Because they've changed everything in their life.
Yeah.
And they're miserable.
And it's unsustainable.
Of course it is.
That's right. And too much too soon. Like you say, it's always got to be incremental.
Small, sustainable changes. And
in a way, that actually facilitates when it's time for a big step, you're ready for it. You think, wait a minute.
Totally, because you've got some motivation, you've got some confidence that you know you can do the small stuff.
You've exercised your will like a muscle, haven't you?
Yes.
Just a little bit, and it gets stronger.
Exactly. That's exactly the way to think of it.
I had a big bag of chocolate buttons. I felt so... I hadn't eaten much during the day. I'd had a gig. He was on the rider for the year.
Were they normal-sized buttons?
No, they were big-sized chocolate buttons. And I just shoved them in my pocket, and as I walked back to the car, I just scoffed them all. Like a child. In
good fats or
time.
Bad fats?
I couldn't possibly comment. Delicious fats.
Oh my goodness. It was great. I was going on a giddy chocolate high. But that was very sporadic. Very sporadic.
I did eat a lot of mini eggs today, so I got sent some in. You can't stop at one mini egg. I don't trust someone that could do that.
No.
I do not trust someone that can have one square of chocolate and then put it back in the cupboard for another day.
In the lovely gig in Brighton, they always put a little pot of jelly beans and a little pot of mini eggs on the side. It's like, damn you, get behind me. And then the other comedians come in and say, where are the sweets? And they go, nom, nom, nom. There's nothing I can tell
you. I'm carb loading.
So Joe went 50 months without boozing the other year.
Tell us about that, and tell us about your boozing right now.
Well, I'd moved to Spain for 3 months to do a transformation book, and that's another one, because this is the longer part of the story. I got into cover model shape, and then it all went again. Right. Started a new business with my former editor at Men's Fitness, because I was actually there years ago, and then left to set up my own business, and they've now outsourced the making of the mag to us. So we've got our own side business as well, which is more fitness magazines.
Okay.
And I've got, typically as it happens, long hours in the office, new business, pressure, stress of all that.
Yeah.
And instead of going to the gym, I went to the pub.
Right.
And that's fine on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
If you're doing it every night, you can say goodbye to that six pack.
Yeah.
And any kind of cardiovascular fitness level.
A six pack of beer. Yeah, morning my pies.
Two for joy. So the trainer that trained me the first time, Nick Mitchell, moved out to Spain and got a book deal with HarperCollins to do a follow-up. So I moved out to Spain for 3 months. And I was in Marbella, and I was almost categorically positive the only sober Brit in Marbella for 3 months.
Worst place in the world to be sober.
Good challenge.
I'm like criminality.
I'm getting the subtext that you like a challenge.
So I didn't drink for those 3 months, and came back to London for the photo shoot, and just thought, you know what? Kind of enjoying not drinking. I was sleeping better.
Yeah.
More productive at work. Just, you know. Sounds a bit cheesy, but I felt better.
Yeah,
great sense of well-being.
Well, it's so funny. We were saying it's only so recently that we made the link between not drinking and sleeping better and running. Yeah. I knew that not drinking meant sleeping better.
It's huge.
But I hadn't connected it with recovery. Sleeping well when you're running and training, it just links to everything we've been saying.
It's all conjoined, isn't it? And so, I came back to London and decided to not drink.
Yeah.
Brother got married, didn't drink at that. Christmas, didn't drink at that. I was like, I might continue this, see how long I can go.
Yeah.
And then went on holiday to Greece in June, and Brexit happened. So I got really, really drunk.
In case you weren't allowed back in.
In case I wasn't allowed back in. So I definitely, it's one of those things. I know I can not do it. So I'll certainly cut back.
So you would probably still be not drinking now if it wasn't for Boris Johnson.
Yes. I'm going to stop calling them Boris Bikes. I'm going to get a new name. It's all his fault. But yeah, I just, like you say, it's just cutting back. And the problem is that beer is delicious.
Yeah.
And there's nothing quite like it.
No, you're right. No, absolutely. So many chocolate buttons.
But it's interesting. I think that it's interesting to try something and see how it feels, because my vegan thing was a month. And I just got to the end of the month, and no one could be more surprised than me. Then I thought, I'll stay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought of it as a little freshener, but I liked it. Like you say, that you felt about how I just felt fit and in control of what I was eating and what effect it was having on my body. And I thought,
it's the thing, isn't it? Everyone is, I know, again, cliche, everyone is so different, which is why whenever a fitness expert or a health expert or nutritionist says to me, this is the way to do it, I instantly dismiss them.
Yeah,
because of course there's not. What works for you won't work for somebody else. It's all about, same with exercise. Some people...
Finding your level, isn't it?
Yeah, finding your level. Finding what you enjoy, most importantly. But that said, I still think everyone would benefit from
something.
From something.
Yeah. Well, there was this
guy... And running's the easiest thing to do.
Someone online the other day said, I want to lose weight, but I can't be bothered with any stupid exercise. And I was like... I can't, I'm going to have to come down hard at this point. If you think the exercise is stupid,
but again, it's that habit change of going, the gym is something I resent, or the run is something I resent, to something, actually, I'm looking forward to that, because I know it's going to make me feel physically better and mentally better.
Yeah.
And that's a hugely powerful thing when that happens to you, and that switch does occur.
Yeah, and vice versa, once you know that's going to happen, you're not necessarily in the moment. You might be thinking during the run, oh, this is tough. It might be 3 hours later that you think, I feel really pleased with myself.
Has anyone ever
been
in bad mood or stressed or whatever and then gone for a run and then afterwards felt worse?
No, yeah, it
doesn't
happen.
I don't think so. It's just puts everything into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. Being outside, isn't it? You felt you've sort of moved from the gym to running a bit more recently, just getting out more.
And I've enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that with the London Marathon, as we were saying this the other day, is it's seasonal. That as you get out and go longer and longer, the season comes with you. We've come to
how far we've done.
Where we started, and I'll tell you how far we've gone. That was a really nice run.
It was a lovely run, yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you. I love running around here. Sorry, just getting a. I should be able to look at my wrist and find this out, or something on the inside of my eye.
I'm going to guess around 8.5 kilometres. Oh, you got it in miles.
That's correct. Yes. But it's just over 5 1/4, so that's right.
5 1/4 miles.
I did look at my watch, so I'm not going to take any credit.
We were going
at
a good pace for chatting running as well. 9.5 minute miles.
I enjoyed it. I've never. I'm a podcast on head down, don't talk or look at anyone.
So if you like really podcasts, we can recommend one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to talk when you're running. So, getting to Joe, have you got a Just Giving page for your parking?
I have. Probably the easiest way to find it is to go to Twitter, and it's a link there. So it's at Joe Warner UK.
Brilliant.
Hoping we all stay together, otherwise I'm going to have to change that handle. yeah. So yeah, anything would be much appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. And how's your dad?
He's good. Trying to get him moving. It's very early, but I think I saw on Twitter very early on when he was first diagnosed, and I can't remember the guy's name, but he said Parkinson's is a disease where if you give it an inch, it takes a mile. Mm-hmm. And like, that's really kind of, I'm trying to drill that into him. The more he can do, the more active, the more exercise,
the
better he can eat. You know, it's all going to help.
Yeah,
so
and in the long
I'm
game,
banging
anything,
that drum.
Anything he can do easily now and set up the rhythm of doing and keep doing, that's really good. You know, my it's a totally different thing, but my dad does, you know, he's always been into quizzes and crosswords and stuff, and he kind of still does them despite not really being able to do them anymore. But that sort of through line,
it's finding your thing and just trying to do
stay
it.
Stay with it,
absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for inviting me. Really enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much. It's been lovely.
Honoured to be a guest.
Well, we'll see you. We'll see you at the marathon.
Yeah, I'll be some way behind you both. Put your names on your back so
who
I can cheer.
Who knows? And good luck with your left arse.
Thanks very
much. Oh yeah, do you want to rub? We won't record it. But,
I can't believe we're
private moment.
I can't believe we're ending on that.
Tell us your Twitter again.
It's at Joe Warner UK.
Thank you, Joe. And we're RunConPod on Twitter and
Facebook,
and keep in touch. Lots of good stuff. Everyone's training for things, so keep telling us your stuff. We want to know.
The middle of a heavy training period for people, isn't it?
Yeah, but not for you because you're going to Cuba.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, to the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chocolate buttons.
With Paul Tomkinson.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Deering.